Friends, allies, and Americans, welcome to the Defense of Democracy podcast, where we tell the stories of folks who defend your children's rights by advocating for inclusive public school systems and who fight for diversity across our nation. I'm your host, Karen Swoboda. Let's get into it. It's my pleasure today to welcome Tiffany Fee to the Defense of Democracy podcast. Tiffany is running for school board in Rutherford County, Tennessee. She is the founder and president of the Rutherford County Library Alliance, which is a nonprofit that fights back against attacks on the public library system and its staff. Originally from Michigan, she has lived in Tennessee for 20 years, and with her husband, they have one child who is in the public school. I am so happy to welcome you today, Tiffany, to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Really, really good. So talk to me about how the Rutherford County Library Alliance, how that started and why it started.
Yeah, so we started as a grassroots group as a direct result of our local city leadership here in the city of Murfreesboro. Passing what is known locally as the Murfreesboro Decency Ordinance. And what this was is...
I hate everything about that name.
I know.
Because I already know everything that... Okay, keep going. Tell me about it.
Tennessee decency, it's not going to be good. So what this was is our city council wanting to get away with refusing to allow our local pride event to happen. So there was some controversy with our 2022 local pride event, Borough Pride. And what happened is a parent brought their child to an 18 and older drag show at the end of the evening. It's dark. It was in a local park. So it was hard to see that was going on in the audience, but it was used as ammunition to prevent any further pride events from happening. So in 2023, in July, the decency ordinance went into effect very quietly. It was buried in hundreds of pages of agenda for our city council meeting. So people locally did not know it was going on. And what we saw was immediately Pride, they refused to offer permits for Pride. Also, the attacks on our public library system started immediately.
So talk to me about, I want to say this, and I'm going to repeat back what I think I heard you said. So a parent brought a child to a drag show that was specifically for 18 and older. So I want to go on the record and say that I don't agree with that. I support the fact that nobody should bring their child to a young person to any 18 and older event, whether it's a drag show or a strip club or anything like that. So for that, but what ended up happening in your case is that it didn't end there. It became a reason to attack the entire LGBT community. And the library, and then it goes to the libraries and the books and all of that. So they used this to cancel Pride in your community. Is that what it ended up happening?
They did. Yes. And I want to point out, we had during the day, there were drag shows going on constantly during the day. So there were opportunities to take your kids to more family-friendly drag events. I'm sure people locally would roll me for that phrase, but we did. We had where it was all ages, but
so
was, this event
so,
in the
so community. You're on board. You're agreeing with me that was inappropriate for that parent to bring that kid there.
Absolutely.
Right. So this is not
older. 18 and older.
So I want to get that out of the way. Like, this is not like if anybody's listening to this, nobody should be thinking that anyone is advocating for bringing kids to 18 plus events. Okay.
No, so, not at all. I have a teenage son, and we took him earlier in the day to that Pride event and let him watch some of the drag performers. I love me a drag queen. but we had him at the more family friendly Tamer events where, you know, there wasn't anything
18. Are you kidding? I had, when my daughter was 8 months old, we went to a drag show because one of my best friends was doing it. It was a lovely show. And it actually ended, this was before you could have gay marriage. It ended with all of the individuals participating in that show holding up signs showing how many years they had been together, unable to be married. It was very beautiful. And I have a picture of her being held by one of the drag queens, again, a lifelong friend of mine, that she used in her high school yearbook. She was so proud of it. But there is a time and a place. So talk to me now about the Rutherford County Alliance. How has that evolved? You started, that was the kind of the start of the inspiration to put this together because of this attack on your local libraries. And you said in staff, which is, I want to talk about that as well. How has it evolved? Because that was what, 2022, a couple years ago?
So really the decency ordinance, it took effect in July of 2023. My husband and I went to the first library board meeting of our lives, the July library board meeting, to see how it would affect our public libraries. And we left horrified. Since then, we've been able to organize, raise awareness about what's going on in the library system.
Yeah, when you say you left horrified, what was horrifying?
The messages that we heard at the July library board meeting were restricting library cards. So we now, in Rutherford County, in our public library system, we have three different library cards, different levels, and it's based on age. We have an adult card, we have a young adult card, and we have a juvenile card. So the juvenile card is for 12 and under. And unless a parent opts in to their child having access to computers and having access to something above a 12-year-old age range, they're censored on what they can check out. Our young adult card, they have access for anything from birth up to 17 years.
Devil's advocate, what's so horrifying about that?
It's not just adult fiction that they don't have access to. It's SAT prep books. It's driver's license research material. It is books that they have to read for school, To Kill a Mockingbird, you know, things like that.
Oh.
Yeah, it's history books. It's biographies. It's anything that is adult, unless their parents opt them in, even if they read beyond their age, right. They can't check out the books. They can't get on the computers, which already have filters in place to stop them from going to dangerous sites.
Okay.
But we hear that it's protecting our children, that we have obscenity and pornography in our libraries. We hear from our local leaders that we need to police our public libraries to clean them up. And they've even floated around the idea of assigning members of the public to go in and pull books off of shelves that they think are inappropriate. So it's such a dangerous thing. And it started with the books for our queer kids being attacked.
Yes.
Then in February, we had the anti-racist kid be up for review.
In February, which, by the way, what month is that?
Black History Month. You know what else was reviewed is The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison during Black History Month. And that was the first time that any books addressing race were reviewed. And it comes from complaints from the public, but we have, like, the majority comes from two people in our community.
Oh, that's it. That's it. That's what kills me. I'm sorry. I get so upset over that. Yep. Two people can create enormous amounts of chaos. So talk to me about your evolution. You're moving into running for school board, which I am so happy to see so many people making this choice because it is so necessary right now because our schools are under attack. They are under attack. And running for school board is critical in protecting our school system. So where was the light bulb moment that you were like, I have to do this?
Oh, wow. It was the work with RCLA. Just hearing the amount of fear in our community, from our queer community, from our librarians, from our educators. We've had a librarian die at the age of 49. We've had multiple resign. We've had some move out of state for new jobs. I've had countless people contact me in tears because they're afraid to leave their house because homosexuality was made illegal in the city of Murfreesboro on city property. Our librarians have been threatened with possible arrest if they check out books to minors that are deemed inappropriate or obscene with no definition of what that is because the Supreme Court spent 16 years trying to define obscenity and they couldn't. There is no way to define obscenity. That's why the Miller test was created by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Can we unpack a couple things you just said there? It's illegal to be gay. Is that current right now, these times, not 20, 25 years ago?
Right. Yeah. They updated the language when they passed this, when it took effect in July, they had updated the language to include homosexuality, to make it illegal on city property in the city of Murfreesboro. It has since been repealed because the city of Murfreesboro and the city council members who helped vote that in, they were sued by the ACLU of Tennessee, along with the Tennessee Equality Project, which is the organization that they do wonderful work here in Tennessee, lobbying, fighting our state legislature. But they also help organize our local pride event. So the city of Murfreesboro decided to settle instead of continuing to fight the lawsuit, because it was clear violations of First and 14th Amendment rights for our citizens here, let alone the moral issues.
I mean, and also, how much money does that lawsuit cost taxpayers?
So they settled for $500,000. That does not include legal fees. That does not include the money that they spent getting this passed through the city council. And then getting it repealed, how much, they spent just on our local.
So can you clarify, was it repealed?
It was repealed.
Okay. But it happened in recent history and it was repealed at a cost of hundreds of thousands of dollars to the local taxpayers.
Within the last few months, it was repealed.
That is wild.
Yeah. In 2024.
What do you think, you personally, what are you seeing as the biggest challenges facing the school district in your community right now?
We are one of the fastest growing counties in the country, which is amazing. I don't have to go to Nashville for a good restaurant anymore, which is like a 45-minute drive. I don't have to go to Nashville for great shopping. But we have poor local leadership. And there is no long-term thinking. We are busting at the seams with our schools. Our schools are incredibly overcrowded. We are years behind in building schools, finding land for schools, just to get us to where we need to be right now. That's the biggest issue. Tennessee is one of the top states in the country for gun violence. We should not have our children in portables. They are not safe from active shooters.
What are portables?
They're like the portable buildings that kids.
Oh, like the, okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Like we had one at my kid's school, but they didn't call it that. It was like a construction trailer sort of thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what they are. And that's what we have them everywhere on our school properties. Another huge issue that we have is we've recently with RCLA, so we've been able to form into a nonprofit. We're an official 501c4. We considered being a C3 because we didn't want to get political, but we found out quickly how political this issue is. So what we have now done is we are having to deal with the issue of book banning happening secretly in our public school system. We found out not just the public libraries. We found out now that our schools have been ordered to quietly, without public knowledge, pull dozens of books off of their shelves.
This is, I'm not minimizing that. I'm just ridiculous, but this is where a lot of people don't realize you can do a FOIA request and they have to give you this information, but you got to jump through a few hoops because they absolutely try to run it under the radar. At this point in the show, I'd like to do a volunteer shout out. And the volunteer I want to highlight today is Ronnie. She is someone who also lives in Tennessee, one of our great movers and shakers out there. And she made an announcement just 2 weeks ago that every one of the radical school board candidates lost in Sumner County. So congratulations to our friends and families and Americans in Sumner County who have seen justice. And that is one of the many reasons why we exist. So Tiffany, I'm going to roll it back to you because I know that you're not quite there, but hopefully we'll be there soon. Let's talk about how you believe what changes can happen to keep children in your school district, in particular, those American families of marginalized communities. So we're talking the BIPOC community, we're talking the LGBT community, we're talking communities of different religions and backgrounds, the communities with different abilities. It's a lot, especially when they've been so marginalized. So what do you think can help?
I think that what we need to do, there's several things that I would like to do when I get on the school board. First thing is making sure that we stop any attacks on our curriculum. We keep our curriculum, our clubs and organizations, and our staff. We keep it diverse, inclusive, and equitable. My son is queer. I have a queer child. He's also autistic. He came out to us after in high school, the GSA club. And when I first heard about it, it was the Gay Straight Alliance. And I think now it's gender.
Well, it is. No, you're right. I mean, this is my understanding of it. Everybody refers to it as the Gay Straight Alliance, but nationally the organization is the Gender Sexuality Alliance. And what we have, and this is me talking about my community and things that I've seen, is a lot of these extremists locking into the word sexuality because they get very focused on that. Even though there's really nothing wrong with the word, we all have sexuality. It's part of being a human being. So the official term is Gender Sexuality Alliance, but the most common way that people refer to it is the GSA, which is the Gay Straight Alliance.
I'm glad you told me that too, because I didn't realize that. I had always heard of it as the Gay Straight Alliance. And then my son corrected me and told me, you know, that's the I thought it was a new name for it.
No, right. And that's because, and I started off getting into arguments with people. I was like, it's not the gender sexual. And this was before, you know, you gotta do your research. Right. And I was wrong on that. And what we really found is that these religious extremists, if the word sex is in anything, they're going to use it as something to make it sound dirty, which is unfortunate when you're talking about a group of high school. It's beyond unfortunate. It is pretty gross.
We have to have board members, school board members that are proactive in our schools. And also not just showing up for events for the photo ops or, you know, the more popular events that are going on. I hear complaints from within the schools and also from parents that they never see our board members in the schools. board members don't know what's going on a day-to-day basis. So you, we also, our school board is going to be voting on whether or not to approve a change in policy where public comments now would only be allowed if they pertain to the agenda for that night's meeting, which I understand because we had an issue where someone gave a campaign speech basically for an incumbent board member recently. So I understand the reasoning for that, but also there's no opportunity to make sure that your voice is heard too at school meetings, school board meetings, if that policy is put into place. So I think open forums, regular open forums with parents, with groups in our community, especially we have a huge issue with racism, with religions like our Muslim community here. They had atrocious attacks when they were building their mosque, bacon rubbed on like doors and just disgusting bomb threats. It's just ridiculous. Reaching out to those communities and making sure that we're hearing their voice is a huge issue that we're not addressing right now.
Absolutely. Tiffany, I always like to end the podcast on a positive note. So what I would like to do is if you could send a message to anyone who is like you, just kind of a regular mom, you know, with all of the responsibilities that come with that, who is thinking about running for school board. What message would you, and you're running for school board in a community that is probably, there are probably enough, even though they're a minority, really loud, scary people to make it a very bitter taste in your mouth to think about running. What message do you have for people like that running or thinking about running rather?
I am the only candidate in my county running for a local office of any type that is a progressive. An out and proud progressive. It's scary. It's uncomfortable, but it's so necessary because I hear constantly from people, and I have in the past year or so from so many people, I didn't know there were other Democrats. I didn't know there were other progressives. I thought I was alone, and we all feel alone because the voice of that small, hateful, extreme section of our community is so loud. It drowns out the common sense and sense of community that we have here. This is a moment in our time, in our history that we're living through. We can't sit quietly anymore because people are dying. People are dying and they're fleeing. There is such an exodus happening in Tennessee and other states too. This happens all across the country in every state. We're being affected by this in every state. But just use your voice. Just be courageous. Help us. There is absolutely a community to support you. Just please step up.
Tiffany, thank you so much for joining the podcast. I am so happy to be able to amplify your message. I will definitely be sharing in the podcast notes ways to get in touch with you and follow up. And thank you again for your visit today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really enjoyed getting to speak with you.
Thanks for listening to the Defense of Democracy podcast. If you like what you've heard, you can find out more at defenseofdemocracy.org. Please consider becoming a support partner by texting the letters DOFD, that's Defense OF Democracy, to 44321. Stay strong and remember, there is more good than bad out there, and you're standing on the right side of history.